According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, depending on the state that you live in, up to 50% of the population of Australia are functionally illiterate. A proportion of these people will have dyslexia, but that's far from the only reason. This Saturday, Learning Difficulties Australia's 2016 Eminent Researcher Award is to be given to an old friend of the Health Report, Professor Marianne Wolfe, who's director of the Centre for Reading and Language Research at Tufts University in Boston, and she's dragged herself into the studio. Welcome back, Marianne.
It's a pleasure to be back. Of course, I have a multifactorial response to give you, and it's a developmental one. So pardon me if I give you four different reasons at four different ages. The first is 0 to 5. We know that the gaps really begin before the children even walk in the kindergarten door. So what we could do to enhance language development is so simple. Literally reading to our children, speaking to our children every day, every night is one of the simplest antidote to really the very grievous differences in language in our privileged and underprivileged homes.
So this is the notorious word gap.
This is the notorious word gap in which 32 million less words are heard by children who are between 3 and 4 who come from disadvantaged homes. And it's not just quantitative, it's qualitative as well. You know, the nature of the language that's being used. But yes, that's the first, the 0 to 5.
But if you've got 50% of the population, yes, depending on, I think that's a Tasmanian figure actually, I think
yes,
less in other cities and other states.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a large proportion, I mean, even 30% is high, and their parents, they're going to struggle to read to their children.
Absolutely. There are wonderful things that we can do. And part of it is due to the pediatricians who are giving these various groups of children stories that can be read either by the people who are the parents or by librarians or by caretakers or by tape
this
recorders.
This is the U.S. context.
This is the U.S. context. It's called Reach Out and Read. But any group can do this. So there's all kinds of ways we can do that. But actually, I think the more pernicious factor is happening between kindergarten and grade 2 and 3. And that's, and Norman, we have spoken about this before. I see a certain recidivism going on in Australia in our methods of teaching children. So regardless of
This is not the first time you've been to Australia.
This is definitely not the first time. I've even spoken to you, Norman, about things that will make people very upset. And that is the nature of instruction that goes on to children who come from whatever home they are. So
this is before we even get onto dyslexia.
Oh, well before.
And what you're talking about here is teachers' training colleges,
exactly,
not teaching teachers evidence-based
literacy. Exactly. I mean, I was so hopeful about Australia, but I see a retreat to binary modes of instruction that you really...
So what do you see happening?
I see instead of us really reflecting the research on evidence-based instruction and the work...
And I should say that there are like 30 randomized controlled trials of this. This is not...
Yes, this is nothing new. I mean, there are new
And what
things.
We're talking about here, just to cut to the chase, is...
Yes.
The evidence-based teaching is phonics, sounding out words, understanding the sounds within words and relating them to the written text, amongst other things.
Okay, amongst other things. But the way that I want the whole public to understand this is that phonics provides the first scaffolding of a reading brain circuitry. But by no means do people who have all the good intentions of the world in teaching whole language, we don't leave them behind. We provide that scaffolding and expand it.
And for those of you people who are listening to this for the first time, whole language is the notion that there's something natural about reading.
Yes.
Your point is that it's very unnatural
very
to learn.
Unnatural.
We didn't evolve to read.
Yes.
And they think just by showing text and telling nice stories, kids will get it.
Yes.
And some kids will, but not all.
Right. Between 50 and 60%, any method works. But for the rest of our children, we are literally not giving them the lower rungs of the ladder. So they will never, in fact, reach their potential as truly expert readers because of this.
So, you know, I'm used to hammering doctors for not being evidence-based.
Yes.
Now we're
yes.
hammering teachers. What evidence have you got
yes.
that there's recidivism amongst Australian teachers and they're contributing to this unacceptably high level of
illiteracy? What I have been doing for the last week, but also for the last several months is really trying to understand from teachers, policymakers, administrators, what is going on. And what seems to be is a regression to a kind of a binary way of thinking about instruction.
Binary?
Binary being phonics versus whole language. And we can call it balanced, but it's not balanced. And what we really need to do is to understand evidence-based gives us a scaffolding. Now, it also helps all children who have various forms of impairments. So dyslexia is between 5 and 10% of the population. There are many other challenges, but if you give this scaffolding and then you expand it, you see, the reading brain circuit is not simply about phonics. That's the beginning. I need teachers to realize they need to be explicit about everything over time. So we're talking about rich semantic or vocabulary work. We're talking,
so it's understanding the world and the context.
Exactly. For syntax, work. The grammar. There's so much that's beautiful about this reading brain circuit that is literally being taught in one way or another versus a developmental sequenced way of bringing it all together.
So do you think primary school teachers understand that?
No, they do
syntax
not.
And the grammar?
One of the really harsh realities is that primary teachers are given the responsibilities for all the ills that society is not addressing. They're given 20, 25, or 30 children. They were never trained to work with children with dyslexia or challenges. And they are given usually 1 hour a week from someone outside and no pull-out time for the children who need intensive work.
Now, we're going to run out of time.
Yes,
very briefly. You looking at the 5% of kids with dyslexia. So
5 to 10.
So,
yes.
You know, I've been in a campaign about this with teachers training colleges and obviously failed miserably. But all we can do is talk about it. Mm-hmm. But talking about the 5% who've got dyslexia and really are something neurological going on in their brain.
Yes.
What's new there in terms of being able to help them?
One of the most exciting aspects of all this work in neuroscience is that we understand that our previous conceptualization of dyslexia was all wrong. It's not about a deficit or a defect. It's about a difference in the brain organization that children. The educational system has not understood that it's not the child, it's us. We can learn to teach this by understanding how the reading brain circuit works and addressing each component. That takes training, but we have evidence trials right now going on from NICHD. We have wonderful methods that can, with intensive pull-out training, small group, we can do so much good and release the potential of some of our most creative minds who are dyslexic.
So is handing an iPad to a baby changing the reading pathway?
Oh, goodness gracious. The iPad is the new pacifier with the same problems.
But seriously, is the digital world changing how...
The fourth factor, I would say, in functional illiteracy is the fact that the digital world is, in fact, changing attention, especially in the young brain, which is very susceptible. So you have addiction problems. You have children who are literally developing a reading brain circuit that's short-circuited, that doesn't have the advantages because it's moving its attention sometimes 27 times an hour. They're not developing
concentration. So you're talking about video-based material with rapid intercutting.
But there's so many aspects to the digital culture that are changing us. But they're changing attention, memory, reliance on external platforms of knowledge rather than building inside the children.
Now, most parents would think that they're giving their children, we've only got a minute left, you know, these deeper knowledge and exposure to the world through the digital environment. What's a parent to do?
Well, a parent, first of all, there's some wonderful work done by different people. And what I would really suggest is that we have a developmental model. Under 2, I want no iPads. Over 2, between 2 and 5, very gradual. At 5 to 7, I want only use of the digital work in school for coding and programming. And then over time, then we gradually use it, ever gradually.
So it's not a tool for learning to read.
It is a tool that could be used carefully and critically. Literally, we need scales of justice here, Norman. And in 1 minute, I'm not going to be able to say this, but I will say that what I hope is a biliterate brain that is critically able to use and know when to use a digital reading and when to use print at what developmental period. So it's a biliterate brain over time, developmentally taught.
And Marianne Wolfe's got a couple of books coming out on that, which we'll no doubt promote when they do. Marianne, thanks very much for joining us again on the Health Report. Marianne Wolfe, who's Director of the Centre for Reading and Language Research at Tufts University in Boston. I'm Norman Swan. This has been the Health Report. See you next week.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.